in Mark, and it's hard to say no to Mark, but when he asked me to do this, I pictured that little intimate room in there with a beautiful friend, you know, which is going to be awfully easy to do. Am I too close to this? But I thought about saying no, but I prayed about it, and the Lord put it on my heart that He's been so good to me all my life that I need to share that with the rest of you. So here I am. And I hope I don't keep you too long, because when you get as old as I am, if you do things kind of in chronological order, and I'm apt to do that, it takes a long time, and so I may run over. So I may have to just stop mid-sentence and let you go to choir practice. But I wanted to begin by saying that when I reflected on my life, look back on the things that have happened to me, I see so clearly how God has had such a purpose for me. And it's an humbling experience. You get a new perspective on things, not to dwell on the past. I don't believe in doing that. But it's good to go back and realize the grace that God has showered on you all the years of your life. So I'll start with that Dorita Louisiana story. I was born to young parents. My dad was 18 and my mom 20 when they got married. He was very immature. Mama was more mature, not because she was 2 years older, she just was. But they lived in a logging camp, and as far as I know, that's all Daddy ever did was be a logger. And we were there 2 years before we moved back to East Texas. And we always lived near my maternal grandparents. They had a really positive effect on me. They were good Christian people. Now, I can't say that, and I don't mean to ever disparage anyone when I say something that might be construed as negative, but Daddy didn't have the kind of parents that Mom did. He was really not a Christian, my mom was, but his dad was a poor role model, I guess is how I would say that. And I can tell a lot of things that I can remember from my young years, but it doesn't serve any useful purpose here. So I'll just kind of keep that to myself. But say that Daddy did have a drinking problem. He was a womanizer. He abused my mom, and he abused particularly one of my little brothers. So I witnessed that. And I think what that did for me was to just give me a heart for people who have that in their lives. If they have abuse in their lives, I've not been able to work with abused children as much, but I knew to look for it in the students that I had, and I knew how to be empathetic with it and to maybe use that negative experience in a positive way. But he did work hard when he was not drinking. I mean, logging was hard work. But we lived in Center until I was 8 years old, and then we moved to Vidor, Texas. Some of you know about Vidor, where it is in Texas. I have positive memories of my early school life when I went to school in Center. We lived in a community. It was called the James Community, and we lived near a little school, and it was, you've heard of those little schools where they had grades 1 through 3 in one room, and then 4 through 8 in the other room. That's what that was, and then it consolidated after my first grade, and all the little surrounding schools went into Center. And I saw a picture recently of a Lufkin School, and it looked just like that school that we went to in Center. And I guess they all looked alike that day. No air conditioning, of course, or anything. But I had, for the most part, good teachers. I remember, though, being so intimidated that first day. I had to go ride that school bus, and Mama couldn't go with me. She had all those little babies to take care of. And I went into Center and went into that classroom by myself, and I remember how scared I was and how my stomach felt. And it's a funny thing about memories, but I can remember the things that happened to me when I was really young, but I can't remember so well the things. It's kind of a haze, the teen years. I don't remember all of that so well. You know, school, that was it, just about. But I remember one time we lived near with my maternal grandparents while Daddy was in the Army. And I remember making mud pies, being out and making mud pies. And Mama came, and I had been going out to the hen's nest and getting eggs so I could put them in my mud pies. And she said, I can see her hand on her hip. Well, that's what's happening to all the eggs. But anyway, it was a good time being with those grandparents. And school was okay until we moved about her. And as I say, not to disparage a place. And I remember good people there, but I don't remember anything good that happened to us there. I can remember at night you could hear panthers scream in the woods. I can remember it being like a swampy area, and those wild hogs would come up. That's before we had trouble with wild hogs coming around. But they came up and ate our school lunch one day while we were waiting for the bus. And the first day we got there, the thing they did to us was give us a typhoid shot. Oh, that hurt so bad. And I don't remember it much good about it. But part of it was because Daddy's drinking had intensified. And as I say, things were not good. So I remember, though, people who were good. I had a granny who lived there. Now, that was his mother. And she and her husband, his dad, had divorced early on, which was a good thing for her. But anyway, I got to see her more there. And I remember that we had a couple, they were named Green, and in my mind's eye, I remember this big green, dark green car. They would drive up, and Mama would always get us ready to go to church. And we would go to this little, it was called Lakeview Baptist Church. We went there for Sunday school and church and for Vacation Bible School. Another thing that I remember is that there was a boy there. He was called a blue baby. Have you ever heard that expression? Someone who has a problem with his heart and his blue, his complexion was blue. I mean, his features were blue. And I remember feeling, my heart was touched by that. And I think through my life, I can remember people who had special needs, whether it was Down syndrome in the community or any of those people just kind of had my heart. And I think that's why later on I wanted to work in the special ed department here, and why I wanted to do that when I went into teaching. But anyway, while we lived in Ryder, Daddy worked for Kirby Lumber Company, as I said, and he was standing near a load of logs, and the chain on that load of logs broke and crushed him, fell on him and crushed him. He didn't die immediately, but he died soon thereafter. Well, there was Mama left with five little kids. She couldn't even drive a car. She didn't know anything about, you know, trying to get money or anything from the accident. We just packed everything up and moved back to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And they had built a little house. It was comfortable for them. And it was nice. I remember it being a pretty little house with pretty wallpaper on the walls. But there were just two bedrooms. And there were Grandma and Grandpa. And they took us in. And this makes me so humble to think about how I never heard one word of impatience from them. They were always, they reinforced, Christian ideals for us. And they took us in, and they were hospitable, and they took care of us. And I don't know how they did that. If I had six people move into my little two-bedroom house, I don't know how I would feel about that. But they were always so good to us. And Mama somehow was able to get enough money together somewhere that was $1,000. I don't know whether it was an insurance policy or what, but she got that money, and that enabled her to start building a little house, a little two-bedroom house, and it was right near Grandma and Grandpa. And then the way we had income was through I guess you'd call it a stipend, but it was for veterans, for their children until they're age 18. We got a little stipend until age 18, and that's how we lived. But it wasn't a thing. We were poor, but I never thought of us as poverty stricken. We never let that be our focal point. We always had a good time with our families. We had wonderful neighbors. And you talk about organic or farm to table living, that's what we had. Yes, that's what we had there. I mean, raising those gardens, we had everything that was good. We didn't put any kind of, it was always natural fertilizer that they put in. But they grew their own, they had their own hogs, they had the beef cattle, the milk cows, the chickens, the laying hens, the chickens for the table, all of that, and all kinds of fruit trees and everything. And I make it kind of sound like a garden of Eden, but it was a wonderful place to live. And we had Mayhaws that were down in the little wet area, and we had muscadines, and that's why I still like to make that jelly, is because that's what they did when I was growing up. And we had, they raised their own cane and sorghum, and so they made syrup. And so in the fall, that's what we did. We went over the syrup mill where the mules went round and round and crushed the juice out, and they put the juice down and made the syrup. So we ate well, and I can remember every morning that we had a long prayer before breakfast. And Grandpa would always say this prayer, and he would end it with, "Take us now in thy care." But when I heard it, it was, "Take us down to our care." And I always wondered where was our care, and why we wanted to go there. But that's the things that you hear when you're a child. But, excuse me, they fed us well. I don't know how they did it, because, as I say, there were a lot of us to take care of. There was four little brothers, but we had a good growing up. I probably need to skip over some of this, but I just want you to know what a happy childhood I had. When I think back on it, it's kind of a golden time to me. I think about how close we all were, and I'm not just glossing over some of them. You know, we had problems, I'm sure we had illnesses and things like that, but we had peace. After Daddy was gone, there were no harsh words or bad things to bother us, and we had a secure time. And that was important. And Mama, I can't tell you what a wonderful person she was. She was not an angel, but she was creative. She was resourceful. How she raised us all for so many years the way she did, and was able to accomplish things. And that's where God's grace comes in, all along the things that I've told you about His protecting us, and seeing that our lives were channeled in the right direction. That was God's grace, and I know that. I'm a firm believer that all of His love and His care and His forgiveness, and there have been many times that I've had to ask for His forgiveness because I've made a lot of mistakes, but He's always forgiven me, and I've always had the assurance of His love and His grace. But we rocked along, and Mama remarried when I was actually senior in high school. When she remarried a man whose wife had died from cancer, and he had a son. So that's why when people ask about my brothers, I have six. I say I have four holes and a step and a half. And that made up our family. So the Lord blessed us again in this way. And I don't say this from a point of pride, but we were good students and we were able to, I think everyone except maybe one who was in the top 10, we finished as valedictorian or salutatorian. And I say this because you see that God enabled us to do that, because that helped us to get scholarships. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to go to school. So we continued our education, and I went to SFA. In my second year there, I met someone who was in my carpool. His name was Chet Winger. And Chet and I had our first date on September 22nd, and on October 27th, we got married. Now, I still can't believe that I did that impetuous thing. And I'm the least impetuous person in the world. But and I keep thinking back, why didn't Mama say to me, maybe you better rethink this, or you want to think about this a little longer, or what? But I guess she was taking care of that new baby, and she didn't think about it. He'd been born in May, and we got married in October. So I finished that year. Then I had to quit school so I could meet her and save money. So he had been in the Air Force for 4 years, but he spent all the money that he had had, so he didn't bring me money to the marriage. So I went to work to put him through school. When he finished in 63, we moved to Houston. He took a job at an accounting firm there. And in 65, I mean, I worked during that time in different places. I worked for Foley's and Accounts Receivable Department. And when we began expecting, that was when we lived in a little rent house there in Bel Air, and I could just walk to work. And I remember walking to work one morning, and I was having a lot of pain, and I called the doctor, and he said, oh, those are just those round ligaments, you know, don't worry about that. But that day, the baby came there at the office, and they had to take me in, of course, to the hospital. But I was really sick for a while, but they sent me home. And I was home for a few days, and I began hemorrhaging, and I had to go back to the hospital, and there was another little baby. And that was, Chet talked with me about maybe doing, he said, we don't want this to happen to anyone else. Do you think we should, you know, file suit against that doctor? Because clearly it was negligence. But I don't know, I was too distraught, and Chet didn't push it, so we never did anything about that. But I do worry sometimes that should happen to anybody else. But I'm saying that so you'll know that going through something like that back then in 65 is different from the way it is now. Now you can go through a grief process, because you can have a proper burial for a baby, or so recognize that it was here. But back then it wasn't. It was just, you didn't talk about it. It was just dismissed. The closest thing that came to discussing it was to ask if they could have it for scientific research. And that's a hard thing. And especially at 5 or 6 months, when that maybe is a reality to you. You've already planned for it to be a part of your family. So that I say that because if you know of anyone who loses a child, you know, if that's at any time during their period of development, if you can just give them some encouragement, be willing to talk with them about it and be empathetic with them, it would mean a great deal, I'm sure. And then we built a home, and then Kim was born in 67. Now, I have two children, most of you know. Kim was born in 67. Kyle was born after we moved back here in 71. Two wonderful children. I have had such good luck with my children. They never gave me reason to worry about things. They've just been good. They've been devoted. They've been attentive, supportive. They've done so much for me. And I only have two grandchildren. That's Kim and Kurt's children. But, you know, when you have the best, I guess you don't have to have a whole lot. I have two great children, and their spouses are wonderful. I can't be more grateful for the Lord having led them to those, and both of them Christians, to those spouses and their families, because they have such wonderful families, too. So I have been really blessed in that way. But I told you that we lost the two babies in 65, two little boys. And in that same year, there was a little boy born. It was heard out in England. And if he had been born to me, I couldn't love him more, because he is such a wonderful husband to my daughter, father to my grandchildren, and he's just such a good person. If you don't know Kurt, I hope you get to know him, because he is a wonderful, wonderful person, and my life has been enriched. And as I say, all of the families that I've got, Hal and Julie never had children. I always envisioned that they would have two little red-haired granddaughters, and they never did have children. But they have two granddaughters, and one of them does have red hair. So that was as close as I got to the red-haired grandchild. But as I say, I'm happy for them. It was their life and their decision to make whether to have children or not. They didn't have to do that for me. But in 69, I was expecting again, and everything was just fine. It went on for about 6 months, and all of a sudden, I began having labor pains, and I had to go in, and I lost that little baby. Now, what I didn't know at first was that Chet and I were RH incompatible. Now, if that happens, he can have something done. You don't have to have the problem the mother doesn't build up antibodies against the babies, but at that time, we didn't know. Also, I was hypothyroid. So that was another problem. But lost that baby. But in 70, we moved to here in church, and Chet went to work. And I need to say something about Chet. I won't say anything negative about him. We're no longer married. But Chet is he's a really smart person. He has a high IQ. He is creative, talented. And I'll say this about him. This morning, I got a message from him. He was just inquiring. I had not felt well lately. And he was just asking me how I felt and if I'd been to see the doctor. So that tells you something about, you know, he has a lot of good qualities. And he's the father of my children, so I would not say anything negative about him. But anyway, we moved back to Lufkin. He went to work for Temple Inland. And I became involved in a church and was active in that church until I moved my membership here in 75. And I taught mission friends. Some of you know my good friend Kathleen Jumper. We taught mission friends together way back when. And then in a couple of years from that time, I think it's when the special ed department was formed, and I started working in that special ed department. Art Nelson was not a part of that department at the time. He came in shortly thereafter. But he and Karen, that later on they got married, of course, but they have been in that department since 77, or at least he has, and then they got married later, so she's been part of that department for almost that entire time. And if you feel led to do anything with a special ed, that would be a wonderful way for me to give back, because that department, I don't know how many they have every Sunday, but it's a great place to work, and there's not too much. I'm to the point now that I only go about once a month because I'm getting older and slower, but they could use some help, you know, just for you to come and do a lesson during the worship time. But that was what prompted me to go back to school. So I went back and finished out my bachelor's degree, and then I got my master's in education. And at the time, they did endorsements. So you got all these endorsements you could do. And it was okay at that time. It was politically correct to say mentally retarded, emotionally disturbed, learning disabled, all of those things. So I was able to do that, and I taught on a self-contained campus. It was Hackney campus, and then later I would go out and volunteer to go out and open up the self-contained special ed classes. And I did that until my back just gave out. I was lifting wheelchair kids, and I had to get out of it. And I thought, well, I'll just quit teaching and work on marriage. And in hindsight, I should have, you know, just taken a lead. But I quit, and the marriage was over in 90. It was almost 30 years. And let me tell you again, that if you can ever minister to someone who's thinking about a divorce, particularly if they're both Christians, I think to encourage somebody to stay and try to work through those things. Because, you know, I felt a lot of guilt giving up on a marriage, because you don't go into a marriage thinking you're going to get a divorce. And I went through a time of grief. I can say it lasted about 10 years of just active grief. Sundays were afternoons were the worst. And it wasn't that Chet was around all that time, but it just was a lonely, lonely time, you know, and it was like, well, it was hard to get over. But I have talked with friends who have considered divorce. I'm thinking of one in particular, and they decided not to. And I don't know, it's because of what I said, but they're still together and they're happy. And I think if you can encourage someone along that line, that would be a great thing. Again, that's God's grace. That's what He provides for us. But I guess I'm going to have to hurry and tell you, because my wife's going to draw it close here and still have some time. But what I want to do is to tell you that some of the things that happened, even like the divorce, some things that seem like it's a stumbling block or a time of loss, it can be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block, because you can learn from it. You can learn to be empathetic with other people. You can learn to try to minister to them. And you also learn not to be judgmental, because you never know what's happening. But I went on, and one of the highlights of my career in special ed was the time that I coached a team in special ed. And I mean, this is serious business. You have to qualify. You can't just go out there and say you want to be a coach. You have to go through training and be certified and everything to be a coach. And we had it out at the stadium here. I mean, there were teams from all around that came that year, and every one of my kids got a gold medal. I mean, they earned it. They don't just give those medals away either. They have to really compete and really earn it. And one of the guys in my class was the torchbearer. Yeah, so that was a great time. I think of that as a golden day. And my time when I was working at Hackney, that was like the sun to me, always shone on Hackney. That was, I loved that time. But when I went back to teach, I went into a regular classroom, but I had a lot of special ed kids, because the principals knew my training, so they would put a lot of the special needs kids in our class, which was a good thing, or good for me. I've had wonderful kids. I hope the things that happened to me in my childhood made me sensitive to the needs of children and empathetic to the needs that they had. I hope that I was able to serve them. I know I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But I do hope that I impacted some lives. And I think that teaching is a wonderful profession. It's certainly a big challenge, but I applaud people who go into teaching. And most of my brothers actually went into education in one way or another. Maybe I should tell you a little bit about my brothers, because they're just great brothers. One of them was a member of this church. The baby brother was a member of this church at one time, and he sang in the choir. His name is John Brown. And he is now the church administrator at the Crossroads Baptist Church in the Woodlands. So, and his daughter goes to Baylor. I'm not there. So that club for Baylor there. But anyway, I didn't tell enough about his dad, my stepdad. He was my real dad. He was the daddy that taught us what it was like to have a loving father. And he went with us to church. He was a good role model. One of the main employers in Center was the East Texas Poultry Plant at the time. That was the name of it. And he worked there shoveling ice, pushing those big vats of ice, and he would work hard all day, then come home and work in the garden. And he was a hard worker but a good provider. And he took care of all of the brothers, you know, all six of them, the holes in the step and a half. But he was really a wonderful man, and I thank God for him and thank him that he could have put him into our lives. But most of my brothers taught school. One was a counselor, a coach. In fact, the year that he coached, the little football team went to state. And, you know, so that was a good thing. But the Lord has just blessed us all along the way. He's encouraged us. He's helped us. He's strengthened us. And we've just been very fortunate in every way to, you know, even though we had some sad times. I didn't tell you about my grandmother that we lived with, the maternal grandmother. She died at a young age, well, I think young, in her 50s, from complications of diabetes. She didn't get treatment early on, and then she was going to have her leg amputated, and she died. But I miss that grandmother, because she was a talented woman. I don't know how she did cooking way back when on a wood stove, and how they regulated the temperature on a wood stove, I don't know. But she could turn out the best food. But she was talented because she could crochet, she could sew, she could tat. Do any of you know about tatting? I just think that'd be the hardest thing to do. And I wish you were here so she could teach me how to do it. But anyway, she was a talented woman, and I guess my mama inherited a lot of those traits, because mama is, I mentioned her resourcefulness and her creativity, but she was a wonderful manager of a household, took care of us well. But she just loved having a good time. We would have great parties. She loved holidays, and so we would have parties on special days, and she was a good cook. And I can remember having a neighbor who was a war bride from England who came up to our party, and she brought these little lemon tarts. And we thought that was so special. They tell them to bring those lemon tarts, and we always wanted her to come to a party and bring them. But we would go out for walks in the fall. We would go and tramp through the woods and find chinkapins. Do y'all know about chinkapins? If you've ever been to New York and got roasted chestnuts, they're a big disappointment when you've had champions, because champions are so much better. But we did that. We gathered hickory nuts and black walnuts to a crack, and they're hard to pick out, but you can make good cakes and pies with them. And we just had it over time. We had good growing up. I became a Christian at age 11. My grandpa was a preacher, and he preached in some of the Missionary Baptist churches around. Missionary Baptists are very conservative, so we never did learn how to play cards, or never was a good dancer because we didn't learn how to dance, because it couldn't be that. But anyway, he did provide a bit of upbringing for us. But he taught, and I'm getting a vibes that it's about time to draw this thing to a close, so I'm going to have to just say that I remember the night, though, that I made the profession of faith. We were all packed in that little car. My mom was driving us in, and we rounded the curve and just straight on into the sunset. Grandma and Grandpa are talking about the plan of salvation, and it suddenly just became clear to me. I could understand what they were saying, and I thought, this is so illuminating, you know, and it was that light coming down, but I really understood what they were saying. So that night I made my profession of faith, and the next night my little brother did, and I think he was about nine, and we were baptized in a pond this time of the year, and it was cold. And then my other little brothers made their professions of faith. They were baptized in a creek. But anyway, they all have had good lives. They've all been good providers, and everything is, we have so many things, and when I reflect on those things, I think about overall how God's grace shone through on everything we did. Now, that's not to say we didn't have some hard times. We certainly did. And we had some times along the way that were sad times. But he brought us through, and he gave us the joy there is in being a child of God. And I thank him so much for that. And I guess I'm getting to the point I need to retire this. I retired in 2003 because my mom lived with me at the time. But she continued to live with me for another year, and then her health improved and she went home. But at that point was when I started kind of volunteering and doing things like that. But the Lord has blessed me and the people that he's brought into my life. And I look at each of you and I think of so many things. You know, Pat Coleman back there taught me how to swim, and just I can point out so many people that so much influence on my life, and I thank you for all that. And I hope that you can see in what I've told you tonight about how good God is, how he is generous with his forgiveness, but he's generous with his love, and he's generous with his grace. And we need to think of that every day of our lives and try to show that love then to other people. And I hope that's what we're able to accomplish. And I thank you for this time, and I thank you for being in my life. Thank you.